Welcome back to The Comixologist, coming to you not live from New York City. It's Slim and Kazem, and boy howdy, do we have a show for you today.
Boy howdy indeed, Kazem. Huge show, jam-packed, lot of books to recommend to everyone listening, and to you. Maybe you haven't read what I'm going to talk about.
You definitely haven't read what I'm going to talk about.
I don't think I did, if I can be honest with you.
We're all on this magical journey together, but what did you read?
Oh,
what
boy.
Did you read?
I have a pick of the week for you.
Yeah?
Hard pick of the week. Oh, Kill Strike. Let's talk about 90s superhero comics.
Okay.
It was great at the time. We all loved it. Big, thick, meaty, Ripley men.
Wow. A lot of cargo, pockets.
A lot of pockets, a lot of guns. It was an amazing time growing up. Now, looking back, not so great, obviously. Maybe those books weren't amazing.
Hey, now.
In the eye of the beholder. So there's this book from Boom called Oh, Kill Strike. And it tells this hilarious, funny story about this new father who is a burned out comic fan. He grew up a comic fan. He, like, you know, he doesn't read anything from the big two, and
sure.
He hasn't read anything that has been made after 1963. He's like a true Scorn nerd.
And Scorn nerd.
He knows he has a issue of Kill Strike from the 90s that is regarded as like the worst comic book of all time.
Okay.
And he's gonna sell it, and someone's bidding on it on his EJ account. So someone is going to pay him like $100,000, and this is going to be how he sticks it to the comic man.
Okay.
And he goes to his mom's house to find the book
yeah.
in the attic, and he finds it, and then Killstrike, who is this character that I described earlier, comes out of the book.
What?
Into our dimension, and this guy's like pooing in his pants. He can't believe this is happening, and Killstrike, you know, lives for revenge. So he's like a cliche of those 90s comics. He's like, who can I kill for you? Who can I splatter with my sword and all this stuff? So he doesn't, like, he can't think of anybody. So he, like, runs away and goes back home to his wife and new child.
Right.
And the guy follows him. It's really funny. And he finally acquiesces to Killstrike. He's like, okay, well, we can go talk to my dad. I haven't talked to him in 25 years, and he was actually a comic book writer.
Okay.
And in this story, like, they kind of make him out to be an Alan Moore type. Like, he was a smarter writer than most people. He
right.
wrote, like, amazing stories, but they had a falling out. So the issue ends with them going to reconnect with this guy's dad. It's really, really funny. I was really shocked how much I liked it. I heard about the book, but I didn't know the storyline.
No, this is right up your alley.
This is, like... It really
wacky
is.
Wacky homage violence with a father-son subplot. This is basically written for you.
Yeah,
where's the luchador hiding in this?
Maybe that'll be in part four. But I think it's a limited series, four-issue limited series. Highest recommendation right now.
Beautiful.
For everyone listening, if you don't buy this book and read it, just go away forever.
Okay.
Including you.
Well, then I'll just have to read it then, won't I?
What did you read?
We have to have a serious discussion right now.
Please.
About how no one thought to tell me that Weird Love is a series that's happening. Thank you, IDW. Thank you, IDW, for bringing this light into my life. And how dare everyone else not tell me about it?
I feel like it's obvious that you would read a book called Weird Love.
How could I not?
Based on your manga history. But what is Weird Love?
Okay, so it's reprints of romance comics, romance stories from the 1950s. And the first story in volume 7, which came out this week, is I Joined a Teenage Sex Club.
Oh my gosh.
So right away.
Can we say that on the air? Can we say
right
that?
Right away, I knew I had a winner. So it's just so beautiful. One of the stories is about these two sisters who work as lion tamers in the circus, and the younger one is jealous because the older one is, like, beautiful and the popular one and has the man. So she sets her sister in the lion ring with a hungry tiger so that her sister will die and she could swoop in and get her boyfriend. And at the last minute, she decides that she'll just always be a second fiddle. So she shoots the tiger and saves her sister.
Oh my
and the story ends with her crying. there's this one story about this girl who's like a brainy type, and her boyfriend goes away for the summer to a camp, and she decides to follow him to the camp and dress up as different girls to try to see if he's a schmuck and will cheat on her.
Oh my gosh.
So she dresses up, but she, by dressing up as different girls, I mean she puts a wig on and thinks that he won't notice that it's her.
Wait, we're talking about his girlfriend or his sister?
His girlfriend.
Okay. Wow. So, I had a different interpretation of this story.
This is not Game of Thrones, okay? So what I'm saying is, this is stellar. There's like a one page about how to throw a great party, a swell party.
Soiree, if you will.
A swell party. And the tips were actually pretty good. And it's just so delightful. I had no idea that they were reprinting these, and this is like my new favorite thing now.
So this is like an American version, kind of the manga that you read. What was some of the Secretary Greek CEO books, the Harley Quinn books that you were reading a while back?
Those are great. Oh, what do you mean was reading past tense?
Yeah, sorry.
Always reading.
What era are these books from?
Like the
what
50s. Deck?
50s?
Yeah, oh, on the bottom of the title page for each story, they tell you what the original issue was that it was published in and what year it came out in. So it's like a time capsule into the 50s to see what people were reading. And it's all magic.
What were some of the party tips? Do you remember any of them? Can we,
you
we share them at all?
Have your mom and dad around so that they can help you serve things and organize games. And you should not be afraid to engage in the games that you're having your guests play, because they're going to take their social cues from you.
My word.
And if it's getting late and you want people to start leaving, you should enlist the help of your best friend to get the ball rolling so you're not seen as the jerk who's throwing people out. So... good
stuff.
I
don't know about these tips personally.
Stuff.
I don't know.
But it's so delightful. I loved it.
Let's
move. What else did
we
you
need? You know, you talked about luchadors earlier. If you
want
to get me to read a comic book, include some kind of pro wrestling sports entertainment
in
vibe
a mask.
And revenge. So, Calavera de la Justicia, number one. Obviously, I took Spanish class for 4 years.
That was
shows.
A gorgeous accent.
It was track one, Spanish. This is a submit title. It is a obviously about luchador Lucha Libre, who goes to have his big fight, and he comes back, and his wife and child are missing.
What?
Yeah. So he goes to look for them, and he encounters this strange elderly woman who is talking about a mystery monster in town. That might be the culprit.
Was it La Chupacabra?
I don't know. So he decides to help out and get rid of this monster while at the same time looking for his wife and son. So he agrees to help this elderly woman rid the town of these evils as he searches for his family. 99 cents, first issue.
Awesome.
Fantastic. What more do you need? Lucha Libre fighting supernatural monsters to reclaim his family.
Was that submit?
La Familia.
That's Italian.
It all holds up, okay? Yes, it is submit.
I also took a look at a submit book. The one I picked was Empty Sands. Mm. And I opened it because the art looked really cool. And like everyone in this desert land, it's like wearing dreadlocks and have awesome, like,
love
deserty
dreadlocks. I'm growing my hair out
clothing.
So I can have dreadlocks.
Please don't. All of the dialogue in this book is written in like a made-up language. So you know that people are talking because there are the speech bubbles and you see the words inscribed, but you have no idea what they're saying. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of relying on their actions and who's talking to figure out like what's going on. And I thought it was a really interesting way to do a book so that it wasn't a silent story, but you still don't have like total clarity on everything that's being said. So you kind of have to just rely on like just the character's body language and stuff like
was
that.
Was it like a whole other, like the was it a whole other alphabet in the speech bubbles or what did it look like?
Yeah, I'll show you right now.
Show me, please.
Tell our listeners.
Or
the
Kindle Fire. It looks like Scribble. but obviously probably a language. Elegant
calligraphied scribble.
It is very elegant. Elegant.
It is quite elegant. And if this is actually a real language and I just sound like a jerk right now, someone please tell me.
Oh man, how embarrassing would that be?
Would be
almost
super
like
embarrassing.
La Familia embarrassing.
Speaking of Comixology Submit, one of my favorite books
really
is out this week, and I say favorite because it's incredibly useful. Poorcraft, Wish You Were Here, all about how to travel on the cheap. Pro tips from expert cheap travelers.
Really?
And I've mentioned before, I really enjoy when comics are used to impart information, and this does a winning job.
So is it like a format of here are some stories on how to save? Like, what's the format of the book?
It's the like total breaking the fourth wall. Like, the main character is basically your guide through all these tips, and they use the comic medium to illustrate the things that they're talking about. So you're basically getting just a straight up guide through the world of cheap traveling. So as opposed to being a story, it's more of like a straight up, like, here's what you do in this situation. Here's how you get cheap tickets here. Mm. Here's how you like can eat on the reg.
Free. Dine and Dash. What page was Dine and Dash listed on?
Now. Not that cheap.
I'm not allowed to eat at any local New York City eateries anymore. I have a picture of me on the cash register.
So, and this was a follow-up to the original Poorcraft volume by Spike Trotman.
Mm-hmm.
And that one was more just like regular day-to-day living your life, how to maybe cut down on your expenses, how to make healthy meals that don't break the bank.
So it's like for people, maybe for the young and living in an apartment for the first time.
Oh, yeah. And like that's part of the ethos of these books. The creators are really cognizant that their audience does not have a lot of money, which is why they're purchasing these books. So they try to keep their price points for the volumes low.
Yeah.
And we're about to make them even lower.
Yeah, the first volume, which came out, I think, maybe last year or 2 years ago, is usually $10. But in that Poorcraft train of thought, you know, you want to enter a code in to get it for 50% off. You can enter the code CRAFTPOD, CRAFTPOD, at comixology.com/redeem. There you go. Yeah, we're trying to help you out. You know, maybe you don't dine and dash.
This is a great example of that spend money to save money maxim that's somehow right. Still around. But really, I have both volumes of Poorcraft and Poorcraft Wish You Were Here, and they are really, really, really useful.
What volume recommends having your parents serve food to your guests, much like Weird Love?
Don't start with me. If these creators did like how to go through romance novels and take excellent life tips out of them, I would be on board from the start.
We need to get into our letters.
Our backlist spelunking. Well, my backlist spelunking, because last week I had quite the tall order.
You had a lot
of things to read. What did I read?
You were tasked to read, Astro City.
Yes.
How'd that go?
Astro City, the first volume, so that's the one from 1995, and it was a mini series at first, taking a look at what it's like to live in a city where there are superheroes, whether you're a superhero or just a person going on their regular commute. And I had to keep reminding myself that this was written in 1995, because this type of this type of storytelling is not common, but definitely like a type of storytelling that is prevalent in today's comic landscape. Mm-hmm. But in the 90s, not so much. It was still definitely like, let's focus on the superheroes and what they're
rippling,
battling.
Shirtless men with pouch guns.
Do you need a minute?
Oh, Killstrike #1 by.
So but it was very well done. I really enjoyed it. I'm glad it got recommended to me. And I think my favorite sub-story was where these two heroes go on a date, but instead of just saying like, and now we're on a date, mm-hmm. and now it's after the date, and now we're getting married, and now because it's a comic, we're not married anymore because we've been retconned. It was them actually talking about their beliefs as heroes and why they're doing the things that they do and like going through their motivations. And they actually had a real discussion about it, as opposed to just like arguing and storming off and never talking to one another again. They stormed off and then reconvened and then said, let's try to understand each other here.
Right.
And I really appreciated that.
Was this the miniseries that had the story with the reporter and the newspaper clipping?
Yes.
What did you think of that one?
It's great.
Amazing.
It's great.
Amazing. I couldn't believe when I first read this, like, Kurt Busiek's, just how he comes up with these stories. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't understand how what that process is like. He's an amazing writer. One of the best ever. Hands down.
Snaps for Kurt. And I also read three more things. Let's start with Codename Knockout.
Mm-hmm.
So here's this young woman, butt-kicking, super spy type. And in the first issue, we find out that her mom is the head of a global organization for good.
For good.
Which is actually the acronym.
Oh, that's right.
And her father, who was always a mystery, an enigma, didn't know who he was, is revealed to be the head of evil.
Oh, no.
Another acronym.
Oh, no.
For a bad organization. And her parents are basically like, choose a side. And she's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
So Codename Knockout is just hanging out with her BFF, Go-Go, her gay Italian bestie, who may or may not be older than he seems. A lot of questions, but it's fun. It's definitely a book that's like aware of what it is, and just like everything is like fun and ridiculous, and like you know what you're getting into from the first page, and you're like, okay, I'm here for the laughs. Let's do this.
So you had, not only that, but I think you had two more.
Yes. I read the first volume of Wet Moon, which is a series that is kind of like a slice of life in a college town. And I think the school is like an art school. So then the group of friends that we're first introduced to are, I don't know, what do the kids call it these days? They're like goth types. They've got, like, a lot of piercings, and they wear a lot of, like, black and studs and so forth. I don't know. Maybe it's something else now. Wasn't it emo for a while?
Maybe it's emo now, different. And it was goth before. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Gemo. Who knows?
So, the youth of America can write in and tell us how wrong we are. Letters at comixology.com.
They don't use email anymore. They use, you know...
Snapchat.
WhatsApp, Snapchat, Periscope, Tinder. They're swiping away on this podcast right now.
Oh, Tinder. No. So Wet Moon was interesting because they took small moments that you don't normally see explored in comics and expanded them into like full page explorations of that moment. So for example, one of the main characters is insecure about her body. So to show that, they really take the time to observe like what she does when she looks in the mirror. And I've known some people with body issues, and so looking at that was like really just the portrayal that they did for this character was very accurate, and I appreciated the commitment to like a realistic approach that they had for this.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one character that was very striking. I don't really know a lot about her because I didn't have time to read more, but she shows up at this goth club and down her back, lining her spine, there's these two rows of piercings, and she tied a ribbon between them to make it look like she had a corset, like as part of her back. And I was just looking at it. I was like, that must hurt so much. But it also looks really cool. Spoilers, I will not be doing that. But the aesthetic for this book, like the art, was really well done.
What about Castle? That was Castle Waiting. 1,000 pages.
I saved it for last because it was hands down my favorite book that you all recommended for me this week. Castle Waiting is a kind of like a mixing together slash remix of fairy tales that we know and love, but with a more modern twist. And I'm glad I didn't read anything about it until after I'd read it, because everything I read about this book was like a feminist fairy tale. And I didn't, like, that wasn't my reaction when, while I was reading it, because while I was reading it, I was just like, oh, this is a great story. I'm engaged by the characters. I want to know more about all of them. And then if I had been reading it through a feminist lens, I would have been like, yeah, this is totally feminist. But I was just reading it to be like, wow, well-rounded characters. And most of them just happen to be women. Gosh. But maybe I'm just jaded because I read a lot of stories with lady protagonists. So.
When you were eyeing me about reading this, I had the most wrong interpretation about this book. I thought you were reading the Castle Brian Michael Bendis Marvel adaptation.
No. Sorry. Sorry. Should I read that next?
No. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that was like when I read Castle, I even read the letter. I don't know why I thought Castle was the one you're reading.
No.
So I don't know what the heck you were talking about Castle when you're Waiting. Reviewing
it's,
that book.
It's beautiful. It's whimsical. It was over 400 pages and I didn't want it to end.
It's a lot.
I need to I finished it and I was like, that's it. They really delve into the world building and they go into character backstories, but like through the lens of them telling their own stories. So you're also hearing about stories that they heard. And in one of those stories within a stories was one of the most beautiful love stories in comics I have like ever read. Wow. I was reading it on the train and I started crying because it was so beautiful and it made my heart swell and my cynical New York shell crack a little bit. But yeah, like towards the end of volume one, we really get a lot of the backstory about one of the women staying at Castle Waiting, who is a nun, who is part of an order of nuns that is comprised completely of bearded women.
What?
And going into the backstory of how that nunnery was founded, how that order was founded, was amazing. Just all of it was great. I cannot recommend Castle Waiting highly enough. Actually, as soon as I finished reading it, I was just sitting there like, I need to buy copies of these and give them to all my friends.
Let's see. Which reminds me, I don't think we talked about on the show last week, but Comixology launched Refer a Friend. You can go on our website. You know, maybe you have some friends that might enjoy Castle Waiting, like Kara. Kara's going to go on the website and refer some of her friends. And what happens is you shoot an email to one of your buddies on our website, and if they create an account and buy something, you get $5.
Cash money.
To spend on our website. You both win.
If you do that and use our promo code, you could get Poor Craft 1 for free.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Oh, my.
Mic drop. We got a couple more letters for me to read more backlist, right?
We do. This will be our wrap-up to the show, run out of tape. Ryan, our dear friend Ryan, emails in. Kara wants an older comic recommendation. Oh, I've got one. The best one. I formally recommend Alan Moore's Beyond Brilliant 2-issue story, Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow. This story took place in Superman 423 and then leapt over in a single bound to Action Comics 583. It tells the future story of the end of Superman in the most awesome way imaginable. Go on. Imagine the most awesome end story for Superman. Nope, this is better. The first issue will blow your mind. The second issue will gather up all your mind pieces, put them together like a 3D jigsaw puzzle, wrap it all up in duct tape, and then blow your mind again.
Wow.
It is one of the greatest comic stories ever told, and it was done in 2 short issues. Read it. Matt agrees. Thanks, and keep mixing those comics, Ryan, @SomeGeekLawyer on Twitter. I do agree. It's amazing.
I was just about to ask, do you in fact agree?
I do enjoy some old Alan Moore books, and this is a very good two-issue arc, so it's not going to be a 400-page castle read. So that's on your list for next week.
Okay.
Next, from Rich. So you guys were taking suggestions for back issue gems. This isn't really old, but it is a book that has been sorely overlooked in my opinion. You need to check out Daymen from Boom. The premise is this. There are these big vampire ruling families. Since vampires can't go out in daylight, it makes sense that they would have emissaries that work during the day to maintain the family's interests and to protect them.
Mm-hmm.
These are called the Daymen. They are highly trained bad A's. Yeah, it's nice. A clean show. It's a G-rated show. I can't say that word. This series should be a TV show. It would be better than the vampire crap we get right now. Do you agree with that? Is there vampire crap out there on TV? Do you watch any vampire shows?
I see weekly previews for The Vampire Diaries while I'm watching my other CW shows. Does that count?
I think it does. So you have Daymen and Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow for next week.
I'm on it.
What a show.
Thank you all for your recommendations.
Letters@comixology.com for more.
We are always here for you. And we hope you enjoyed the show. And please enjoy reading your comics this week.
Goodbye.
Bye. You ain't nothing but a hound dog crying all the time.